Okay, Rabosai, I'd like to welcome everybody to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchok Ochonon, and specifically to this year. And first day, there are a whole list of things that I just want to discuss before we actually begin to learn. Those that have been here in the past know a lot of these things, if not all these things, but it's always good to... This year, we are learning Masechta Bava Kamma, starting with Perek Meruba, the seventh Perek. And the seventh Perek is a very lamdusha Perek. It's the yisod of a lot of halachas in the Zikin, and it's a very famous Perek. And we're going to Be'ez Hashem be beginning with the beginning of that Perek on Samach Beis. I'm at base. Let's just review the Seder Hayom. Okay, so we are together 5 days a week. We are zochah for 5 days a week to be together. So normally, say, this on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the schedule is that we have Chavrusa in this room from 9 to 12. We have lunch from 12 to 1 and shiur from 1 to 2:30. Tuesday is the Yotzei Dofen day, and that is because every day, every shiur there's one early day, either Tuesday or Thursday. So this shiur has the early day on Tuesday. So that means if you're taking Bible in the college, you're supposed to take your Tuesday Bible, not the Thursday Bible. Now, therefore on Tuesdays we have early shiur. In other words, normally we have shiur at 1 o'clock. Tuesdays we have shiur at 10:45. Now, normally we learn here, we have shiur in this room, but on Tuesdays we have chavrus in this room. But since there's another Rabbi Willick shiur in this room as well, so we go to the classroom. We'll see which classroom, one of the classrooms here, and we have shiur on Tuesday at 10:45. Around 10:45 or so till 12 o'clock on Tuesdays. Okay, on Sundays, believe it or not, we also have shiur. Now Sunday is a day that requires a little amount of chizuk. It's not exactly the strongest of. Now Sunday, what I try to do the past couple of years is to give a halacha shiur on Sunday. And the first two halacha shiurim are going to be Birkas Hanenin shiurim. Those are shiurim that those that were in the west side on Shavuos heard, but those, a lot of people were not there, and those, even those who are there, could use a chazara, and we'll have special packets for those shiurim. Usually, so every Sunday I pick a different topic in halacha, and we go through it inside Be'ir. You know, whether it's Birkas Hanenin, whether it's Silcha Shabbos, or something like that. Always interesting topics. And therefore, and on Sunday, what we do is we have Chavrusa from 9 till 11:30, and Shir is from 11:30 till 1. Okay, so again, on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, it's 9 to 12. And then 12 to 1 and 1 to 2:30. The 2 days that are different are Tuesdays and Sundays. Okay, we have a chavrusa here in the Beis Medrash, so anyone who is in this shiur should try to learn here in the morning. If you are learning elsewhere, you should just let me know. We try to encourage everyone to learn here, but sometimes there are reasons why people might want to learn elsewhere, which is not necessarily recommended, but please let me know. As you'll see, the style of the shiur is that we do everything inside. All the Gemara, Rashi, Tosus, and the Farshim are all done inside. So it's not a lecture at all. That's my belief in learning in the Chinuch, is that if you don't do it inside and read it inside, then you're really not going to learn it, and it's not going to stay with you. And you're not going to enjoy it, ultimately, because it's just hearing over someone else's learning. It's not learning yourself. So you see it inside, then you're learning yourself. So therefore, the Gemara Rashi Tosis is here, and all the other Mefarshim that we're going to do, we're going to have packets, which are going to have the Mefarshim. So on Sundays in the morning, there'll be a pile of packets on the table here you can go take. Some days there are no packets. That means I want you to just learn the Gemara Rashi Tosis. And also our share, we encourage participation. Part of the fact that it's not a lecture is we encourage participation. It's not, again, a share where I'm just going to spit information at you and then you're going to write it in your notebooks and then you're going to spit it back at me for some bechina, because I'm very much against that style. Even though it could work for some people who are going to put in the extra time outside of shir, but for most cases, people don't necessarily have the time, and I think that the shir has to be a live participation of learning, both from the Rebbe's part and from the Talmud's part. So everyone is an active participant in the shir. Again, if you don't want to speak up, you're not. I don't call on anyone who doesn't want to be called on. It's not that. So this way, everyone could, chill out in a certain way. But okay. So that's the. On Thursdays we have Chumash, meaning the end of the shiur. On Thursdays is Parshas Hashavua, which I give you packets on the parsha, which ultimately became the Sefer Imrei Baruch, Bereishis, and Shmos. And Bez Hashem Vayikra was more or less written this summer, so Bez Hashem, it should be coming out sometime this coming year. Haba Aleinu Latova, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. And Chumashir has to deal with the Parsha, but it usually, or come on always, it has to deal with real life issues that I think are relevant to people in the Shir. So it's not just something just for the sake of, you could say it over at the Shabbos table, it's fine, but it's the point of the shir is to give you hadracha in hashkafa, in issues of life, etc. Generally speaking, I'm here in the mornings, except on Monday and Wednesday, from till 10:30, I'm going to be giving a nidah shir, but after that I'm here, and the other mornings I'm here the whole morning, Bez Hashem. And in the afternoons, I'm in the library on the fifth floor until 6:45. So if any time you would want to speak to me, you could tell me in advance or stop by, and I'd be happy to speak to you on any topic you'd like. In addition, every day we have a rotation. We eat lunch with somebody in the shir. I try to start off with the new fellows in the shir, so I'll get to know who everyone is. Okay, but if you have a pressing need that you want to speak to me, right away, so you let me know, and we can, the ikir of the shir, of course, the learning, you're going to Bez Hashem learn a tremendous amount in the shir, but the ikir nekuda in the shir is that there should be a kesher between Rebbe and Talmud, and that's a very important part of the shir. And therefore, we try to foster this. I live in the neighborhood, so I'm here usually on Shabbos. You have opportunities to come for a Shabbos meal. Bez Hashem will have Shabbatons during the year where we go to a community together. Bez Hashem, we're going to try to arrange Simchas Torah. We've gone together to a community as a shir to be able to create that kesher. Rabbi Berger, I'm sure some of you met him this morning. He's the official Shoal Umeshiv in this Beis Medrash. So that means that you can ask him, you can ask me too, but you can ask him questions and learning during the morning, which you're encouraged to do so, to speak to him in learning. And if you have to have a question about who your chavrusa is, or you don't have a chavrusa, so speak to him. And in addition, you should... you can speak to him if you don't have a makom yet of where to sit, you should speak to him as well. Yoni Kirshner, who just got married last night, is the so we'll sing for him when he comes back. Is the shir assistant. Every shir is a shir assistant, so he is here to assist. So again, if you have any We'll introduce him in a week when he finishes Sheva Brachas. He'll come back and you could meet him. And he's here also to help you in learning or your kavrusas or any issue that you might want to have. Okay, now, we have two sign-up sheets here. So I have, it says Rabbi Baruch Simon, Fall 206. So please sign your name with your cell phone number. We're going to pass it around the shir. So this way we know those that are new that I don't know your name yet. So this way I'll be able to match name with face. And if you're not here, we'll be able to track you down in your cell phone. So please pass it around, and then at the end, please bring it back to me. Okay, Rabbi Josh Blass is one of the Skan Mashkichim here. There are a number of Skan Mashkichim here in the yeshiva that you can schmooze with, and if you have any issues that you want to talk about. And as I said before, you can feel free to speak to me on any topic that you feel free to that you feel comfortable speaking about. It doesn't have to be in learning. If there's some issue in your life that you need to speak about, if it's dating, if it's something else, there's some issue that you need someone to talk to, so I'll be happy to speak to anyone on any issue they feel comfortable speaking about. Okay? And again, as I said, we have lunch together, but if if you need to speak now, I might not get to you for lunch in another 3 weeks. So you let me know, and either we'll lunch you ahead, or we'll speak some other time. Okay. Okay. So there are Skan Mashkichim here. Now, the Rabbi Blass told me that they are starting a new program, a night Seder Shir. For 1 hour a night, there's going to be two Bikia Shir in Mesachas Megillah, given by Rabbi Yehuda Willig and Rabbi Sariel Malinsky. So those two fellows are going to be giving a Shir for 1 hour a night, I think around 9 o'clock or something like that, in Mesachta Megillah. So some people at night like to learn B'chavrusa, but some people feel maybe the chavrusas, if they go to a shir, they'll accomplish more. Some people, so those that want to have an interest in attending a night Seder shir, so please, we're gonna circulate this around: name, cell phone, email, etc. If you're not interested, meaning either because you're doing whatever, so then you don't sign. Just for those that are interested, and I think it's it's a Kedai thing to, some people maybe, it's Kedai to have a night Seder, it's an important thing for your development. So if you feel that Chavrus is the best thing for you, so fine. But if not, some people, don't have a Chavrus or would rather go to a Shir, so you have this opportunity. Okay, so these are the basic things that I wanted to discuss. Now, as is our minhag, when we begin a zman, we begin with the nigun of Avinu Avrahamon, and then we get into the learning. Today there was no packet because I want you to start learning the Gemara first, and then once you start learning the Gemara, there's already a whole packet ready to be given out, which will be given out in due time. Probably the first packet will be the Chumash packet that you'll receive tomorrow. And Sunday you'll receive a Halacha packet. And sometime next week you'll get a packet on Merubah. Okay? Let's go. Avinu Avrahamah Malaynu Nisain Billy Maynu Vino Lehavino Lehaskil Avinu Avrahama Hamirachem Rachema
V'sein v'libeinu v'ino le'avinu le'astir v'ishmacha
We know the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim that if somebody steals something and he's caught with the merchandise that he stole, so he has to not only pay what he stole, he has to pay double. So if he stole a cow worth $1,000, so he has to pay back the cow that's worth $1,000 if the cow's around still, plus another $1,000. That's called a knas. In other words, in the Torah, we have two types of tashlum. One type of tashlumin is called keren, kuf resh nun, keren, and one type of tashlumin is called knas. Keren is that you pay for what you diminished. In other words, if I took away a cow that's worth $1,000 from somebody, so then I have to pay him back $1,000 because that's what I diminished from him. That's what I took from him. Right? If I break someone's window that's worth $500, I have to pay back $500. That's keren. Keren is the value of what you were machaser, what you diminished from the other person. However, sometimes the Torah is mechadesh that we want to put a penalty on you, a fine on you for doing this improper action. So we have different types of fines. So one type of fine that we have is kefil, because kefil is nothing to do with diminishing, right? In other words, by kefil, you're paying back the $1,000 that you took away. Now you're going to pay back another $1,000. So that's kefil. In other words, to pay that extra amount, that's called kefil, and that's a knas. That's a knas. What's the difference between a karen and a knas? So the simple halacha is we know there's a halacha of modeh b'knas potter. In other words, modeh b'karen is chayef. Modeh b'knas is potter. What does that mean? In other words, if I steal something from you, and then I want to do tshuva. And I admit that I was the one who broke the window. So the window was worth $500. So I admit it, so I pay the $500. Right? But if you're moda b'knas, say I was moda that I stole something, right? So normally if you steal something, not only you pay for the karen, you also pay kefil. But since I was modeh b'knas is potter. Modeh b'knas is potter. Now there is a machlokas in the Gemara. What if you're modeh b'knas and then edim come afterwards? So do we say since you were modeh b'knas you're potter? Or do we say since edim come afterwards, so that your hardah is meaningless? Right? So that's the machlokas we'll see between Rav and Shmuel, whether modeh b'knas v'chakach bo edim is chayev u potter. Right? You know the famous Yiddish joke? You know the famous Yiddish joke? Rav Shechter likes to say it over. That we say in Slichas, where we moda Hashem, we did this chait, we did that chait, and then it's a joke. So it's not pshat, and it's not even drush. It's a joke. Okay. What do we say? It's the last alavoneinu kiravu. We're saying that you should forgive us, even though you could bring edim that we did it. But since we moda, so once you moda, you're potter, even if you have kind of spoke, you can bring edim because we paskin like Rav. The salachta lavoneinu kiravu, because the halacha is like Rav. Obviously, this is not the pshat, and it's not even drash, and it's not even remes. It's a joke. Okay. So that's kefil. So kefil is a knas, which is different than the karen. And then the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim another halacha, that if a person steals a shor oseh, and then he shechs it, or sells it afterwards, right? So then the Torah says not only is there the regular knas of kefil, we add much more, dalad v'hei. Hamisha bokar yishalim tachas ashor v'arbat son tachas aseh. That if you steal a shor, you have to pay the amount of the shor plus four more. So four plus one is five. Or if it's a seh, you pay four times. One plus three is four. So chamisha bokar yishalim tachas ashor v'arbat son tachas aseh. That's also a knas. That's a super knas. In other words, normally a knas is only kefil, and here it's kefil plus, right? So that's tashlumi arba b'chamisha. That's when you steal a shor or a seh, and then subsequent to your stealing the shor or the seh, you shecht it or you sell it. So that's the din chamisha boker yishalim tachas ashor v'arba tzon tachas haseh. So here, the first mishnah in Merubah means it's greater. So Merubah, midas tashlumi kefil, mi midas tashlumi arba b'chamisha. That the payment of kefil is more expansive than the payment of arba b'chamisha. Well, that's obvious. I mean, this mishnah is not saying so much of a chiddush. Shemidas tashlumi kefil noheges bein bedover sheyesh bo ruach chayim u bein bedover sheein bo ruach chayim. In other words,
The chiyuv of kefil is on any object. It's on an MP3 player, it's on a hat, it's on a table, anything, or even an animal, anything. Whether a live animal, b'dover sheyesh b'ruchayim, or b'dover sheyem b'ruchayim. Anything, there is a din of kefil. However, umidas tashlume arba v'chamisha eina noheges ela b'shor v'sel bilvat. But arba v'chamisha is only b'shor v'seh. It was right because that's what the pasuk says. So only b'shor v'seh. In other words, if you take something else and you steal an MP3 and then you sell it, there's no chiyuv arba v'chamisha. Chiyuv arba v'chamisha is only shor v'seh t'vacho mecharo. So therefore, the payment of kefil is much more expansive than the payment of arba v'chamisha, because kefil exists in all cases, and arba v'chamisha is only limited to shor v'seh bilvad. Shenemar ki ignov ish shor osel t'vacho mecharo. So basically, I mean, this first part of the Mishnah, I mean, one could question, like, why do you really need it? I mean, he's just saying over Pasuk and Chumash, no? Right? In other words, did the Mishnah Mechadish anything other than what's in the Chumash? I mean, we know that, unless you want to say that one would have thought that maybe Kefil is also only a shore of a set. See, but the Pashup Shad, you know, is not such a Kiddush. In other words, once you read the Pesukim in Chumash, so most probably you would come to this conclusion anyway. So that's not the Iker Kiddush in the Mishnah. Right?
Shenemar ki yiglov yishor sel tvacho mecharo. Okay. Then the Mishnah tells us a second chiddush. I mean, the first chiddush is not such a big chiddush. It's ein hagonev achar haganav mishalem tashlumi kefil. V'lo atoveich v'lo amocher achar haganav mishalem tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So this is already telling us a chiddush. And the first packet is going to be on this topic. The famous topic of gonev achar haganav. What does Golev Achar Haganav mean? It means Reuven goes to someone's house and he steals something. And then Shimon goes to Reuven's house and he takes that object, he takes the hot item. You steal a hot item. So what's the din of stealing a hot item? So, in other words, none of these guys are too much of a tzaddik, okay? Reuven and Shimon. Reuven mamish went, say, let's call him Yisachar. Yisachar is the one who has the chair. He has the chair. He bought a chair. Honest, good. He bought the chair. And Reuven goes ahead and he wants and he steals it. And then Shimon goes to Reuven's house and he steals from Reuven's store. So he's going to Yisachar again. So let me ask you a question. What would you say in Svara? What would you say in Svara? What should be the din of a Golev Achar Haganav? So normally there's a din of kefil, right? That if you steal something, you have to pay kefil, right? That's the regular din, that's the knas. What would you think in Svara? Does the Golev Achar Haganav have to pay kefil? Don't tell me what it says in the Mishnah, because I know what it says in the Mishnah too. But I want you to tell me, Misvara, do you think there should be a distinction between the Ganav Rishon and the Ganav Sheni? Avram?
Who would he pay the kefil to?
Who would he pay the kefil to?
Okay, so I'll return that question to you. Who would he pay the kefil to? So,
I would say it's not right that the Reuven first thief should make money off of stealing. So
it's totally not right that Reuven shouldn't get right. So what about to
But the original owner, Yisachar, is already getting kefil. Isn't he getting kefil already from Reuven?
But say Reuven wasn't caught.
Then how do you know he?
Or say. Say he steals from somehow Reuven or Reuven left the country or something like that, so he can't get Reuven.
So maybe
so Reuven somehow is gone. So should we say, well, let Shimon pay kefil because he's also a ganis? Is Shimon a ganis? Or no, only Reuven's a ganis. Who's a ganis? They both get up. Yeah.
The kind of Rishon is taken from Rishus of the Baal. Kind of Shani is not taken from Rishus.
So you want to say that kind of Rishon is stealing from the Rishus of the Baal. Kind of Shani is taking, not taken from the Rishus of the Baal. So would you call kind of Shani a Ghana?
Yeah, but a different child. He's not taken from the Rishus of the Baal. It's more like a Shomer.
Would you call him a Ghana? Well, my nephew is some of the guns. Kefil, correct. What else?
Avis,
right. There is a din, and we're going to have a whole packet on this, that if somebody is a gun, that it's possible to Avis. Right? You go to a wedding, right? They call up two people under the chuppah, and hopefully they cross the way. I mean, custom so far is true, we've discussed many times, that even if they're there, that's so good, there's people in the crowd, can be back up. So say you can kindly show a woman just in front of two people. Right? So it's only a good solution if the two people are observant Jews. So how do you become possible agents? What? How do you become possible agents?
The gambler.
So you become possible agents. The two tracks how to become possible agents. Either you violate a low sas in the Torah. You can go to McDonald's and you eat the hamburger there. So that's Mamish possible the Aedus. You do Malach on Shabbos, Malach on Yantif. You violate a negative precept in the Torah, possible the Aedus. But if you just don't shake lulav, or don't sit in the sukkah, or don't daven, even though these are not good things, don't get me wrong. But you're not possible Aedus. You're not possible Aedus. The only possible Aedus is when you do an Aveira that has Malchus and Mises. You just don't do this, you still crush your layers. Okay? That's one track of a way of becoming postulators. And there's another track, and there's another way of being postulators. And the other way of being postulators is what? If you are a rush of the comments, if you do something that's monetary dishonesty, then you're also postulating. So you have to make sure when you get married that the two people that you want to be your Eidei Kedushin under the chuppah should be people who do not violate any law sases in the Torah and who do not steal. Okay? And those are right. So the question is, so let me ask you a question, and this is going to be a whole packet on this, but I want to hear your opinion. So if you steal, so you're postulators. But what about the Gone Bachar Ganes? Is he also postulators? Is he called a Ganes?
The Mishnah's calling him a Ganes. It's just that by Kefil, he's not.
So you want to say that what? He's just a Ptur from Kefil, but he's still a Ganes.
The Mishnah's calling him a Gone Bachar Ganes.
But that could be just descriptively. That doesn't mean that he has a Din Ganes. Yeah.
Conceptually, I think that Halacha wants to, have people who do that kind of, those kind of on wholesome activities, not to be involved in the legal system. So, same thing by Kippur, I think it should be that our going after God also should, as far as, should also take in, just because it's like just a punishment for doing an action, going to someone else's house and taking something.
Right, but the question is, this, the Gaon of Haganah, you see, his Mila, again, not to say, you know, it's like the Rosh Hashivas of Tal Termiyav used to say, it's not like we're going to go give him Shlishi or Shishi for doing this. And it's that, no great Shakespeare, you know, but the Gaon of Haganah, he didn't steal from the Beit HaBav. So it's not...
He still steals. So
he's still... He's not... Again, we're not giving him Shlishi, not even Shishi. Okay? We're not giving him... But Lamaisa, his Aveira is a lower level of Aveira than the guy that got a Frisha. Even though, in other words, we swear, you want to... Do you agree with that, or do you think that it's the same level? Is that, in other words, is the level of the Gaon of Rishon the same level of Aveira as the Gaon of Sheni or no?
I have a question on why it might be different. Is it, are we saying it because the Gaon himself deserves to be punished? Because the person who stole it from deserves to get double because
it's more... Right, in other words, he's asking an interesting question. What's the whole idea of Kato? Kefil is a punishment. It's not so much that we want to reward you, in other words, with more. In other words, your point is a very good point. In other words, the point of Kefil is not the punishment. It's not the punishment. So it could be, you couldn't have said, you know, pay back one deterrent to the person who you took from, and the Kefil throw in the sea. You could have said like that, right? So the Torah thought, once you're ready, we want to punish you in a monetary way, you might as well give him the money. But the Torah could have just as easily said, you know, give him the money that he's lost, and the other money take and just throw in the sea. The Torah could have said it. But the Torah didn't want to say it because probably, you know, it's all cash for the money. It's come out. It's how much you get the money. You know? It's how much you get the money. But in other words, the point of Kefil is not to reward the victim. It's to punish the criminal. You understand? Kefil is knas, the punishment. The point is to punish the victim, not to reward the... So again, repeating the question. Gonev acharganav. Gonev acharganav, is that considered a... Do you view the Gaon of Rishon Misvara the same as the Gaon of Sheni? Yeah. What's your name?
My name is Sion.
Sion.
I would say that the Gaon of Rishon is probably worse because he's stealing it. Like, if I would buy something, I own it. It's in my house. Now, if somebody steals it, I feel dead. It's something that I purchased and I felt dear to. So if the Gaon of Rishon would come and steal it from my property, it would affect me more. So therefore, I would... go after him and you would have to pay the kefil, blah, blah, blah. However, Gaon of Sheni is stealing something that somebody else stole. He didn't work for it. Well, he worked to steal it, but he didn't actually put time and effort to go and buy it and then have it in his house and somebody else stealing it from him. It's just something like he acquired through a wrongdoing, of course, but it's not as bad as a Gaon of Rishon because Gaon of Sheni is taking it from something that was already stolen, which somebody didn't have such a copy book for.
Okay, in other words, you're giving a svara of why.
Why
can I be sure? Right, and this is what you're saying. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it so eloquently, like the way you said it. But take a look on Samach Tes Amud Beis, page 138. You see, the Gemara quotes Shmos Chavez, "V'gunav mi beis ha'ish, v'lo mi beis ha'ganav." In other words, the pasuk tells us, "V'gunav mi beis ha'ish." You have to steal it mi beis ha'ish. lo mi beis haganah. So you're giving a nice shot of what the difference between the beis ha'ish and the beis haganah is. Yeah.
You said before that the whole
Yom Kippur
is a punishment on the field. So it wouldn't matter from where he's going from, the fact that he stole the Yom Kippur.
Right. No. So what's your name? What's your name?
Yaniv.
So Yaniv asks the Kasha on Siyum. Yaniv says that if we're saying before that it's a din in punishment, so we might say he also did a bad act. But it could be the idea Siyum will say back, I'll represent you. Oh, you're here. Why should I represent you? You can represent yourself. Say. Yeah, Efren?
Is there any sort of kingdom made by doing that at all?
Oh.
Like, it was all or give up on anything, and it comes into the reshoot of, like, the first guy, and then therefore the second guy stole it because of the reshoot.
Right. So let me tell you an important yisod that you have to know. And this idea I'm going to tell you now is the yisod of the whole Bava Kamma, or at least this part of Bava Kamma, okay? And you have to know this idea, okay? And to understand a lot of what goes on in Bava Kamma. Okay, that's the following. There is a concept in Bava Kamma called a kinyan geneva. Two words, a kinyan geneva. What does that mean? A kinyan geneva.
To acquire something through stealing.
So what does that mean? How do you acquire something through stealing? Naftali? Oh, okay. You're on the right track. Seplutz? Okay, you're also on the right track. Okay, so let me clarify, okay? And this is very... this. Whenever sugi you do throughout the whole year, you should remember what I'm telling you now, and okay, and it'll make everything clear, hopefully. For the whole year. And that is the problem. Kinyan Geneva has, there's two types of Kinyan Genevas. Okay? And that is like this. If I steal something, say I come in to someone's house and I steal their radio. So not me. Reuven steals the radio. Reuven comes into someone's house and steals the radio. What makes him a ganav? He did a kinyan geneva. He picked up the radio. Just like when I go into the store and I buy something, it becomes mine when I do the mice of kinyan. In other words, when you buy a radio from the store, when does it become yours? You pick it up, it becomes yours. Now, if you're not going to pay for it, then it's not going to become yours, because they're not going to be machmir. So once you pay the money, then they give you permission that you can pick it up and make a kinyan on it. So picking up the radio, what? Makes the radio yours. That's when you do it legally.
say, but when you do it illegally, it's also a concept of stealing a neighbor. When you do something illegal, as soon as the ganav picks it up, he acquired a kinyan geneva. So what does that mean? For what purpose? See, when you buy it legally, you acquire a kinyan geneva, that it's now yours. But in a case where, you did it illegally, you stole, so what's what might have to mean in the kingdom of Canada? What else? Before you pay for?
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Say, the guy Ruben comes into the store and he shotguns. He takes the radio. Okay? And then he's walking home with the stolen radio in his bag. You know? And all of a sudden on his way home, there's a monsoon, there's a whirlwind. And the bag is blown away. And the radio is in a million pieces, ice radio. What do you call that? What is that called? Onus. Onus. So the halacha is, Rabbi Osai, that a ganav is chayiv in onus. A ganav is chayiv in onus. Knows once he does. Once he does the kinyan geneva, it's considered his that if an onus happens, in other words, say the guy that's, you know, on his way home decides, you know, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to return. Okay? And before he gets to return it, an onus happens. The wind comes, or armed robbers come, and do something. So what's the halakha? The halakha is too bad, because you picked up the object, the stealer. You did a maisa kinyan. So therefore, you're chayiv in onus. So if an onus happens, the ganav is responsible. The ganav can't say, I'm a ganav, so if you know, I could hear that if I would have broken it myself, I should pay. But if an onus happens, we should say, I'm puter, because it's an onus. No, you stole. You did a maisa kinyan, so we view it, the maisa kinyan gives you a kinyan geneva, so this kinyan geneva is what? It's a liability. In other words, now that you have a kinyan geneva, it's relevant that what? That if an onus happens, you're chayiv. So the first basic understanding of what a kinyan geneva is it's chayiv you in onus. That's what a kinyan geneva does. It's mechayiv you in onus. But say, I didn't do the maisa kinyan. I'm a ganav. But I say, for example, I'll show you the Mishnah in a second. Say, I want to steal something. So I'm about to, take something off the shelf. And I'm pulling out the thing. I'm in the store. And no one's looking, so I'm pulling out the thing, about to take it. But I didn't pick it up. I didn't do the maisa kinyan yet. And as I'm pulling it off the shelf, it breaks before I got to really pick it up. So then, you're not chayiv in onus. Because onus is puter. If you have a shame ganav, then the shame ganav is mechayiv you in onus. But if you don't have a shame ganav, onus is normally puter.
Shoah, right? So the concept of a ganav is that you do a maisa geneva, you did a maisa kinyan, which is similar to the maisa kinyanim by heter, by regular transactions. There's hagbah, there's meshicha, etc. But what the ganav does a maisa kinyan, that's mechayev in onsen.
So take a look, Rabosa, I'll show you. Let's see this inside. Right? Let's see this inside. Ayin Tesam and Aleph. Mishnah and Ayin Tesam and Aleph. We're not going to do the whole Mishnah, but I want to show you this point. Take a look in the middle of that Mishnah. The first word on the line is Birshusam. Birshusam. Okay, in the middle of that line. Hayamoshcho v'yotse. But you're going into somebody's backyard, in somebody's barn, and he has animals there. So you want to what? You want to steal the animal. So you're pulling it, but what's the halacha? How are you kona the animal? Meshicha. But meshicha only works when you, only once it's outside of the Baal's domain. In other words, you have to be moshech. The fact that you're still moshech it in his barn, that's not called moshech until you moshech it outside. So say you're moshech it, and while you're being moshech it, the animal drops dead. Heart attack. So the Mishnah says, Hayamoshcho v'yotze umeis b'rishus habaylim pater. Why? Because a ganef, to have a chi of onsin, is only after he does what? A maisa kinyan. A maisa kinyan means a meshicha, a hagbah, something. Here, he did a meshicha, it was still b'shus b'ilim. So since it was always still b'shus b'ilim, so therefore what? It's not a maisa kinyan. So he doesn't have a shame ganef yet. In other words, to get a shame ganef for kefel and for chiv onsin, you have to have done a maisa kinyan. But here, he was moshechit, it was still in the b'shus Habaylam, he's potter. But, says the Mishnah, Higbio, Ohotzio, Mishus Bailim, Umeis Chayav. But if you what, you actually Magbia, see, Hagbah is Kona anywhere. If it was a small animal and you picked it up to go near it, then you did a Mice opinion. Once you do the Mice opinion, then what? You have a shame gun. And then, if it's an onus, so therefore, if you were Moshechid and it never made it outside, so you never did a Maisa Kinyan, because Mashiach is only a Maisa Kinyan when you Moshechid outside, so then you never became a Shein Ganef. So the Mela, you're not Chayiv and Olsen, so you're Potter. But if you did a Maisa Kinyan and you were, and then all this happens, then you pack. So in the case that I gave you, some guy picked up the radio from the store, and he walked outside with it, he didn't like the king. So now, if somebody comes along, a wind comes along, and or somebody comes along with a hammer and just bangs him, the whole onus, he couldn't have prevented it, he's no kind. Because once the guy's a Shein Ganef, it has to become Shein Ganef through a mighty king. And that's called a Kinyan Geneva. So Kinyan Geneva is Mechayev you in Keiko, and Mechayev you in Onus. Without a Kinyan Geneva, you're not Chayiv. You're not Chayiv in Olsen. You're not Chayiv in Kate. So that is the first you saw of a Kinyan Geneva. A Kinyan Geneva gives you that. Then there's the second type of Kinyan Geneva.
good to have the Yesodis now. And that is the concept that Shinoi is Kona. Shinoi is Kona. What does that mean? That means if I come into your house and there's a piece of wood there and I steal the piece of wood, but not only I steal the piece of wood, I take that piece of wood and I make a box into it. So as I cut it up and I do some type of physical change to the piece of wood, a shinui. So the halakha is that shinui is konin. But here, listen very carefully. The word konin means something totally different. See, when we talk about kinyan gedeva before, we talk about a liability. Now you hire an olsen. Now you hire a kapel. There is a concept in halakha that if you steal something and then you change it, you don't have to give it back anymore. It's yours. So Konet there means what? Now it's yours. Now, don't get the wrong impression. That doesn't mean that I'm allowed to just do that. I mean, then, you see, normally, if I steal something from somebody, then they can be tovei on me to give it back. I have to give back that object. It's not enough that I give back money. I have to give back that object. I have to give back that. I steal this notebook. I can't just say, well, I'll pay you for it. No, I have to give back this exact object that I stole. The heshiv hagzela shegozal. You have to give back the exact object that you stole. But once you do a shinui, the halacha is you're kona this object. You don't have to give back the object that you stole. You still have to pay for it. Not a freebie, or else you can go to someone's house and just take everything and just take a shina. So here, but the halacha is, Rav Osai, that shina is only kodesh if what? You made originally a kinyan on the object. In other words, I took the piece of wood and I was not beating it, so I made a kinyan. So now, what do I have? I have a chiyuv to what? To return it. But we know there is a halacha that shinui is kona. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat that shinui is kona? What's the pshat? Why should that be that shinui is kona? Lechora, I mean, why should it be Kona? I mean, if you stole something, so let's look in the Gemara and Bava Kama on Daf Samach Vav Amar Aleph. Page Samach Vav Amar Aleph. Towards the middle of the page, you see where the Gemara says Vayikra Hei? Vayikra Hei? Pasuk says Veheshiv es hagzeila asher gozal. Because when you steal something, you have to return it. So says the Gemara, Matal mom lom asher gozal. What? You know, when the Torah speaks, it doesn't waste words. You know, the Torah says it to the point. There's no verbosity in the Torah. So what do you mean? Veheshiv zagzela shagozo. Veheshiv zagzela! Of course. It would be called zagzela if you weren't going to school. Why does the Torah say veheshiv zagzela shagozo? Just say veheshiv zagzela. Doesn't mean veheshiv zagzela shagozo. No? Extra. Right? What is that? Just say the Heshiv as the Gzela, not the Heshiv as the Gzela Shagoso. So says the Gemara, Matal Maloma Shagozal, in Kein Shagozal Yachzer, Vimlav Domin Ba'alma Boy Shlumi. Means like this.
If I steal something from you, Asher Gozal means if it's in the same state as it was when I stole it, then I have to give back. Only if it's Asher Gozal, meaning it's in the same status, if it's in the same physical mode as it was when I took it, then I have to return that particular thing. But if I physically changed it, and we'll see how much you have to really change it to, then I don't have to give it back because it's not Asher Gozal. But that doesn't mean it's a freebie. I still have to pay. Then, so the Chiddush HaTorah is that if you make a shinoi, you don't. So that's a kinyan gezeila also. But you have to first do a maisa kinyan. Because once you do a maisa kinyan, so the pshat is you kone, but we don't let you keep it because the Torah says the heshiv is a gezeila. So the way some learn the pshat is, but once you were what? You made a shinoi, so then you took away the what? The chi of hashava, because it's not asher gozal ke ein shegozal. So memele, if you took away the chi of hashava, so why does it become yours? Because you made a kinyan on it. You made a kinyan, you magbiyed it. So really, what you magbiyed, it should be yours. It's except you can't say it's yours because the Torah says you have to return it. So the Torah is saying you're not going it. But once the mitzvah Torah of the Heshiv and Zagdeh Asher Gozal lot no longer applies because it's not Asher Gozal, it's not Ke'en Asher Gozal anymore, so the Mela is yours based on what? The original Kinyan. So this is a totally different concept of what a Kinyan Geneva or Kinyan Gezel is. Whereas the first concept of Kinyan Gneva is once you do the Maisa Kinyan, that's Machai of you. In Otsis, it's Machai of you in liability of Kepa. That's one thing. Then, there's another thing of what? That if you did a Maisa Kinyan when you steal, if later on you did a Shinoi, then you can keep the object. And you only have to pay back the money. Whereas normally, if you steal something, you can't say, well, I'll pay you back the money, I'll keep the thing. No! You're not allowed to keep the object. You got to return the object. But if you did a shinoi, then the Torah doesn't say you have to return the object, because the Torah only says, the heshiv v'tagzela asher gozal. What does the extra word asher gozal mean? It means ke'en shegozal has to be in the same form as it was when you took it away. Ke'en shegozal. So memela, this is a second idea of what a kinyan gezela does. So again, the kinyan gezela is the formal maisa kinyan that you picked up the object or you moshech it. It's a formal maisa kinyan. That's what a kinyan gezela is. It's a formal maisa kinyan.
And it has ramifications for your key vault, number one. And number two, if ultimately you did a shinoi, you can keep it. But if you never did an original kinyan, it's not going to help us as the shinoi. Because of what you call that based on. You see, the trend is when you do the original kinyan, really you should be calling it right away. It's just what? It's the Torah says behavior is like Zela. So that's mafkia, your ability to be called. But once you did a shinoi, so the mitzvah of Torah doesn't apply anymore. So really, you kone. Kone means that you get to keep it. Mama shorts. You still have to pay back the money. So that's another ramification of what it means a kinyan gezeila in the So number one we saw in the Mishnah 9 text. You're asking, where does it say it? The Mishnah in test says the Farish, that you're not high of an Olsen unless you did a Kenyan, which the Mishnah said, that if you pull it, and it dies in the guy for shoes, you pass it from Olsen. You pulled it out, but you must see it, you're high of those. So that's the source. It's always important to know, whatever you say, Halacha, what's the source? What does it say? So that's the source. Mishnah. Where does it say this thing about Shinoi? So that's this Gemara.
Yeah. Wait, by the way, who has the sign up sheet? Everyone signed in? Okay, good. Yeah, everyone signed? Everyone's name is here? Good. Okay, put it on top. Good. Yeah, I'm listening. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. By the way, we have the official MP3 is Vidan Bienenfeld.
I consider him the official MP3 of the year. Okay? And Bez Hashem, this year will be on MP3 every day and will be put online. What's the site? YUTorah.org. And Avidan will be putting it on. So if you ever have to show him, but you could sometimes miss the shiur, but honest. So you could get it online in UK and Chumash here as well, etc. So okay, we'll get to that.
Oh, so this is Rabosi. What I'm telling you now is the fundamental yesod of these halachas of Meruba. Yeah. Right. So, if a go nevachar haganav, let's tie it in a little bit to what we were saying before. If a go nevachar haganav is a ganav, like one of the Svarim points out, then he's going to be chayiv and onsen. If he's not a ganav, then if an onus happens, this is going to be a simple nafkamina. Those we know the din is that gonev achar ganav doesn't have to pay kefal. We know that halacha. That's the Beferish and Mishnah. That gonev achar ganav doesn't have to be kefal. But is a gonev achar ganav chayiv ba'onsen? You sell, Reuven steals Shimon's watch, and then this watch was stolen, and then somehow an onus happens and the watch breaks. So if it happened by the Ganav Rishon is Zikar Ganav, and he's Chayiv and Onsen. But what about the Ganav Sheni? Is the Ganav Sheni a Ganav? Well, no. We know the Ganav Sheni doesn't have to be capable. But is he a Ganav or not? So one of the Nafuminas is he Chayiv and Onsen? Because we said the definition of a ganav, he does a king in Yineva, and now he's Chayiv Onsen. And we said also the definition of a ganav is that once he does a Maisa Kinyan, and then he does a Shinoi, then what? He's called a ganav. That's it. You just have to pay for it. But you don't have to, you can't get it back from it. It's a great type of law, you know? The ganav would have privileges, right? You would only think they have liabilities.
Yeah, Gabriel.
First, you said that if the Ganav picked a Kinyan on it, then you only have to pay the money on it. Does that mean Keiko, or you just pay the price of the Ganav? Keiko still apply that? A Shinyan, I'm sorry. Make a Shinyan on the Ganav. So you pay the money back.
If he makes a Shinoi on the object, it's his object.
Right. So what does he pay, the table, or does
he pays the value of the
why wouldn't every Ghana do that to avoid paying table, right? He's still the object, he makes a scratch on it.
No, a scratch is not a Shinoi. A Shinoi means that you totally, in other words, it has to be a Shinoi that because once you took a piece of wood, if you make a scratch, it's still called a piece of wood. If you make it into a table, then it's not called a piece of wood, it's called a table. But that's not so easy, you know. Not everyone wants to go ahead and
and do that.
You said that the second ganav, if he steals from the first ganav, doesn't have to pay kapal, kapal and kapal. If the first ganav, let's say, made a shinoi and shinoi on it, or whatever, and he made his object, in that case, would the second ganav be high as kapal?
If this...
If the first acquired the object by...
In other words, if the first ganav acquired the object through shinoi, then it's his.
Right.
So now in the second ganav, that's not called going to bin a ganav. Gabriel's making a very interesting point. In other words, if we said that the din of going to achar ganav doesn't have to pay kefal. But what if the first ganav made a shinoi? And then the second ganav steals. In other words, if ganav rishon stole a piece of wood, and then he made it into a table, and ganav sheni, you know, stole the table. What's the din there? Would he pay kefal or not? What?
He should.
Why? Right. That's not called gonav anachar ganav because the ganav was koned. Now the ganav owns it. Even though it started off as a ganav, but now the ganav, in other words, once the ganav is koned through shino, it's his. So now when the ganav, gonav anachar ganav, he's not called a gonav anachar ganav because he's called a gonav from the owner. A gonav and a ganav only if he's not the owner. An owner means that you own it legamri. Whereas when you some make a kinyan geneva, you don't own a legamri. It's only a din in chiyav olsen. Yossi, 1 second. Okay, so far I gave you two very important ideas about the definition of a kinyan geneva. This is what I'm telling you now is going to take you through the year. I'm telling you, we're going to go through the year with this. So if you get it now, you'll have. If you don't understand it, please make me repeat it, or now or later, whenever. Okay, but this is very fundamental. That kinyan geneva is a din that it's a liability of chiv onsen. Number two, if you have a kinyan geneva, then subsequently, if you make a shinoi, you're kona. But if you didn't make a kinyan geneva, then you're not kona. Because shinoi is not a kinyan. The kinyan is the hagvah. It's just that you can't be kona el gamri because the Torah says, Eishiv says, Zeil asher gozal. But once that mitzvah goes off, because it's not asher gozal, it's not ke'ein sher gozal, then you kona it through the initial kinyan. Now there's one more gemara. On Bava Kama, Tzadi Zayin, Amr Alf. And this is a... What would you say? Let me ask you the following question. Without looking anywhere, what would you say the following? You know, people steal cars. You heard of that. The concept of stealing a car. So say a guy goes ahead and he steals a car. And he rides, whatever. And then one day he's using it for a week. He rides here, he rides there. And one day he decides he's going to do tshuva. He's going to do tshuva. He'll return the car. He'll return the car. Not only he'll return the car, he'll make sure he'll pay all the gas. If there's any wear and tear in the car, he'll pay for that. So he comes back to the guy's house. Okay? He says, I want to do tshuva, I want to return your car. So he says, fine, thank you very much. And whatever physical damages there are, or if there are any, I'll pay. Gas, I'll pay. So the guy who the car was stolen from says to him, wait 1 second, you want to return the car that you took from me? Okay, good. But you know what? I want to charge you for the use of the car. Isn't that worth something? You were using my car, rental. You were using my car for the past week. I want to charge you for the demei schiris. What's the halacha? Can he charge him for the demei schiris or not? What do we say? No, he can't charge for that. What's the din? You hear the question? Can he also charge him for the usage of the car. And again, if there's wear and tear, so in Ochanami, they'll pay him for that. But the concept of when you rent a car, you pay the rental. It's not only for the wear and tear; it's the usage you pay for, right? If you take a car service, you pay for the usage that they, not only for the gas, it's the usage of the car. So if somebody steals your car and now wants to return it, you say, hey, buddy, it's not enough that you return the car. Now pay me for the spirits of the car. Pay me the rental value. In addition to giving me back my car. What would you say there? Amitai.
If the gun is made out of kinyaneva, then it's not the Baal that charges you to do it.
But is it his legal? What kind of Kenyan Geneva? With a Sheen or even without a Sheen?
Without.
What?
Without.
Meaning what?
Yes, then it's not the Baal to charge the rent for.
Because?
It's not his. It's a Kenyan Geneva.
Right, even though it wasn't complete in terms of he's going to have to return it. It's not like a Sheen that's mom is yours. Right? It's not mom is yours. It's not like a Kenyan Geneva where your mom is. So if there was a Shinoi done, then of course, it's his car Lagamre. But what's the din? If there's no Shinoi, like a car has no Shinoi done, it's still, it was a car in the beginning, still a car. But what would you say, Amitai?
Maybe not. Maybe you can't
charge. Yeah, so that's the question. Well, here it was done. So maybe Chal v'Chomer he has to pay. Took it for a joyride for a week. Joyride for a week. So no. So you're saying that why?
He's more like a show. He's a mighty king in Mahai and Ma'one. Therefore, he can't charge him the silver because he has more of a liability.
Oh. So take a look, Rabosai. So, on Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph, you have a Gemara here. Itmar. It's three quarters of the way down. The first words on the line are Hadri B. It was before the lines get wide. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five lines before it gets wide. The first word on the line is Hadri B. Itmar. Hatokef Svinoso Shel Chavero. It was in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have cars, so they spoke about stealing the boat. It was your friend has a boat, so you stole his boat. So Amar Rav, Rotsa Schara Notel, Rotsa Pichsa Notel. So when you return the boat, Rav says you can charge for the rental. Or you could charge for the damage. In other words, if there's damage, you can charge for that also. Ushmul Amar Einu Notel Ela Pichsa. And Shmuel says, no, you can't charge for the rental, you can only charge if there's damage. Amar Papa lo pliki. Had the vidul agra, had the lo vidul agra. If he by say mahava had the nachis le adaited the agra, had the nachis le adaited the gazlenusa. Rashi, nachis le adaited the agra, rotsa schara notel. If he picks a yeser schara notel, the mate chris. Nachis le adaited the gazlenusa, if he schara god will be pixa, lo yo have ela pixa. The chol gazlam shlam kashasak zeh. He says, if you nachis le adaited the gazlenusa, meaning if you took it to steal, if you took it to steal, so then the halacha is you can only be charged for the damage, but you cannot be charged for the rental. And this, Rav Gusman of Shechta explained, that the idea is because since you made a mighty, and this is what you said originally, Amita. I just scared you away from it, but that's what you said originally. As once you make a Kenyan Gezela, even if it's not Lagamra yours, just by the fact that you did the Maisa Kinyan, even though you didn't do a Shinoi, you cannot be charged for the rental. So that's another nafkamina between of what the relevance of a kinyan gezeila is. Again, a kinyan gezeila is when you steal and you do a formal maisa kinyan. That's a kinyan gezeila. So my nafkamina, in other words, if there's a basketball in your backyard and I pick it up, then I'm a ganav. But say I just I never picked it up. So is it called mashicha when you kick it? I don't know. But in other words, if you do a ma'isa kinyan, so then you're a ganav. L'may nafkamina, now you chayiv an onsen. Now you chayiv an kefil. Number one. Number two, if you make a shinoi, then what? You kona. L'gamre. And number three, you don't have to pay rent. So those are the three nafkaminas that we have of the relevance of the concept of a kinyan geneva. So you always have to be careful when you're talking about kinyan geneva, which of the three you're talking about. Are you talking about kinyan geneva l'gabe chayuchiv onsen? Or you're talking about kinyan geneva l'gabe konet l'gamre? Because with this chayuchiv onsen, you weren't konet l'gamre. You just have a chayuchiv onsen. You only konet l'gamre if after you did the kinyan, then you made a shinoi, then you konet l'gamre. Oh, so then in our discussion, and Bez Hashem will have a whole shiur on this, when we say ein agonev achar haganev mishalem tashlume kefil, what does that mean? So I'm raising the question, we're not going to have an answer right now. Does that mean that's a special tour from kefil? Because the pasuk says v'gunov mi beis ha'ish v'lo mi beis haganev, but he is a ganev. Well, no, maybe he's not a ganev. Was is a gonev achar ganef, is he a ganef or not? He definitely doesn't have to pay kefil. But what about the other halachas? What is a gonev achar ganef? If he does a shinoi, is he konef? Does he have to pay for the rent? A gonev achar ganef. Was by the fact that the Mishnah says that he's putter from kefil. So what does that show you? Does that show you he's not a ganef at all, or is that a special din of kefil? So that we have to do. And then, we have to get back to our other discussion, and that is he possible aides? Is the gonev achar ganef possible aides? Again, we're not going to give him shlishi or shishi. It's not a mutter thing to do. Because there are a lot of mutter things that are not mutter to do that you don't become possible aides. Right? So it's, you didn't put on Sheikh Lulam, you didn't put on Silam, so that's not a good thing. But you're not supposed to wait. You're not supposed to wait. So there's a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing. But Apostle Aedus is a specific thing that you have to do an Aveira that ties Malchus or Misa, or you do an Aveira of monetary stealing, Rosh Hashanah. So what's the story of a gonev achar ganef? So we're just raising the question now, but at least you know now, today, when we accomplished that we saw part of the Mishnah, and we accomplished discussing the fundamentals. Without this understanding, you can't learn the whole parable. Without understanding these distinctions of what it means in the neighbor of human faith. In the future, sure, we can discuss the technicality of what's the difference between a ganef and a ganef. That's a but this at least helps to understand in these ideas. We'll dive into here at the shir, except on Tuesdays, but it's too early. So we'll dive in a couple of minutes.
Why is this idea of shinoi so crucial? Why is a uman kone mishpat really special? What's the difference?
Because he didn't.